Good morning, Southeast Ohio. It's 9:07. No, it isn't. It's 9:08. Boom. Right then. 24th day of October. It's a Tuesday. We got a topic that's near and dear to many of our hearts today. Pets. That's right. But we're particularly going to talk about dogs. Ryan Gillette is here. He heads up our Athens County dog shelter, which is operated by the sheriff's office, and he's been doing it about 5 years now, which is also when the sheriff's department took over that responsibility. It was done by somebody else or some other organization, right?
Yeah, so it was under the commissioners, and they hired and maintained the staff of the dog wardens.
Well, Ryan, you've been a member of involved with the sheriff's department how many years?
15.
Okay, and where do you hail from? Are you a local?
No. Okay. Metro Detroit area, actually.
Wow.
Yeah,
and. Your involvement with the sheriff's office initially was what, in what capacity?
As a patrol deputy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And along the way, eventually the sheriff's office took over our county dog shelter. And is that something you said, hey, I'd be interested in that, or did someone approach you, or just how did it go down?
It was a conversation with the sheriff. Mm-hmm. He was approached about the possibility of doing that. And, we were talking about some different opportunities at the time, and it was not something that I expected, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm happy that it happened. You know, it was a great opportunity for me, and it's been quite a blessing for me to be involved in that organization.
Well, I've known you, I don't know, I guess since you took over that role.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's a very passionate topic for you, or it has become so. And I think that's terrific, you know? Everybody should love what they do.
Oh, absolutely.
And it seems to me that you really care about it. Well, now the dog shelter, let's make sure people understand. The location of it is where?
So it's State Route 13, just outside of Chancy, near the, I guess you would, it's the old county home.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is it open certain days of the week or certain hours of the day, you know, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so it's open to the public between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesdays and Saturdays, it's open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then it's closed on Sundays. However, there's somebody there 7 days a week. I mean, obviously, we got to take care of the animals.
If someone came across what they think or thought was a lost animal, and it's outside of those hours, what do they do? Do they, you know, they, some may just say, hey, I'm going to take care of this guy or gal.
Quite often, yeah, that's typically what happens, but in most cases.
But maybe they have an animal already and
right.
They're not interacting well.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something outside of the normal public hours that they can do?
Well, right now, unless it's some sort of an emergency, we don't have the capacity to send guys out to do pickups after hours.
Well, can they? I'm just thinking out loud here. You know, is there a certain pen that they could bring it to and place it in and maybe fill out a form or something saying what the story is behind it. For like something occurs at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some pens that are in the back of the shelter. However, those are typically full at this point.
I see.
So yeah, we're struggling with that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I just wondered. You know, there are so many. You've been doing this how many years now?
It'd be 5 years, yeah.
You must have some real stories. You know, I know that if I go out there just to walk about and see who's in there, as soon as I walk in, they go, Hope.
Yeah, right.
Which is the name of a dog. One of our, you know, I hate to say one of our favorites, but I mean, we only have two dogs. But Hope is well known. And were you engaged in Hope's story?
I was not. That was before my time.
Before
there.
Your time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just do a short version of it, folks. Hope was a pit bull, is a pit bull, somewhere close to Gloucester. It was struck by a car. We assume, we don't know, car, truck, whatever. And was lying in the ditch. And evidently a number of people saw it and thought, oh, that's terrible. But nobody stopped to realize that the dog was still alive. Finally, someone did. So they got involved with whatever local organizations they could. And rapidly, Hope was taken up to Ohio State's veterinary medical school. And they made the decision to amputate a right front leg. And there's some other steel components in its structure that were added. And then the people at the shelter, and this was at the time a different shelter out there on near the county garage, right? Wasn't it? Okay.
Not sure.
Anyway, there was a different shelter at the time, and they nursed Hope back to health, and then we found ourselves wanting to add a dog, and we adopted it. Okay, now that's my story. But you folks knew all about Hope, and every time I walk in there, I'm, how's Hope? How's Hope? You know, it's really kind of cool. But there's so many interesting stories like that. You probably have dozens of them memorized of different situations that you folks have dealt with. And but the main purpose is to help the animals and help the humans.
Mm-hmm.
So describe how that happens on a daily basis.
So what we do for adoptions now, and I think this is a holdover from 2020 COVID lockdowns. We implemented that as a way to ensure that there's not, an overabundance of folks at the shelter at the same time trying to look at animals. But what we've found, what we do is a appointment style for the adoptions. So instead of going in the back and looking around at all the animals, we bring them out to the folks that are interested in our adoption room. And so it's kind of neutral territory for the animal and the people. Mm-hmm. And before, you know, we could just walk around.
I miss that, I tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, what we found is that all the dogs would get really riled up, and it would cause them to have some additional stress.
Okay.
And when we bring them out, again, it's like a neutral territory type thing. And what I explain to a lot of people, and nobody disagrees, you know, that kennel space that they have back there is like their own personal space. It's like their bedroom, you know. And a person's reaction when you would come in and go to their house and maybe look through their bedroom window while they're in that space, they're not going to be pleased to see you out there, right? Okay. They're not going to give you maybe their best impression of themselves. So we would have a lot of people walking around and saying, you know, that dog in there, he seems angry. Well, you know, he's not angry. He's a great dog. He just doesn't necessarily like you poking around in his personal space. Mm-hmm. But let me bring him out here, and you'll find out that he's got a great disposition. We had fewer people returning animals after an adoption. The amount of stress that would be caused by the animals was way, way down. They were a lot quieter. And if you've been inside, you know, I mean, as soon as you would walk through that door, it would just be, it'd be so hard on the ears. They're all agitated and barking and excited, and it gets really loud in there. So this is something that we found really helped with our adoption success rates, really helped with the amount, the stress level for the animals, and we've continued to do that since, and it's been working really, really well.
Well, I personally, I liked the other way.
Yeah,
but I do know what you're talking about, and yes, they would get excited to see you. And so, you know, as you go up and down them, and there were, you know, they were two layers of pens, and then, I don't know, probably 40 feet long space that you walked about, you know, you were agitating a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's really difficult to, so now what you do, at least last I was in, you have a picture of each of the dogs inside.
Yep.
And then you look at this billboard that has all these pictures collected, and you say, okay, I'd like to meet this one or that one. And now another good thing is if you already have another pet, you can bring it, and in this neutral space where you do bring the dog to meet the potential new owner, you know, they can be introduced to that other animal.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we require to ensure that it's a good fit for everybody.
And that's how Foley came about in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what's right and wrong. You certainly work with other people in the same they have the same responsibilities, and all you guys, gals, whatever, you really have polished this thing up and made it the best it can be for all parties concerned, which means the animals, the potential owners, and your society, you know?
Yeah, we appreciate that. We take a lot of pride in it.
So how many people does it take to take care of a dog shelter?
Well, we have a total of 5 employees there, and then we have a volunteer organization called Friends of the Shelter Dogs that without them it'd be impossible to do what we do.
I get it.
Great organization. Like yesterday, I want to say there's 5, 6, 7 volunteers that came in throughout the day, mm-hmm. and would, you know, help to bathe dogs that needed it, walk dogs, interact and play with them.
Mm-hmm.
And without that extra interaction, they really start to deteriorate inside that shelter environment. So that enrichment and interaction with the animals really help to ensure that they're adoptable, that they're in good health, that they're have a lot of enrichment throughout the day instead of just being there in the in those kennels.
Now, this is probably true most everywhere, but I remember growing up in Worthington, our dogs had a tag, a license. That is required here in Athens County as well.
Correct, yes.
That's not a voluntary thing, folks. It's a requirement. Now, let's place some statistical numbers. How many dog licenses are there sold, shall we say, annually in our county?
Right now, we're sitting at about 9,500.
9,500.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a remarkable number. Okay, let's do some more numbers. During the course of a year, how many shelter dogs do you folks work with? Not necessarily get placed, but have a responsibility for.
Okay. So statistically, the average is about 560.
Okay.
560 is the average. Right now, this morning, we were at 539 for the year.
Okay.
And then still have 2 months to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been a busy year.
Maybe a new record set. But average. Oh, yeah, average. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so these dogs, however, show up at the shelter. It could be someone drops them off. It could be someone calls and says, there's this loose animal in my neighborhood. Name some other ways they come about.
Well, that's typical.
Those are the most common?
Those are the most common. Okay. We also, from time to time, have what's considered an impoundment. So someone that might not be treating their animal appropriately, and we have to take them into the shelter and hold them as evidence of a crime, an animal cruelty crime.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
That's
the unfortunate part.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's all unfortunate.
Of course.
I mean, it's unfortunate that we need to have a dog shelter because there's unwanted animals out there, but that's the most heart-wrenching anyway when you deal with those.
Well, again, let's mess with some statistics. So last year, 560, and so far this year, you're at 539.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of those, some of them may just be lost. So if someone's lost their dog and they're, you know, frantically trying to find it and going through every possible ways of seeing if they can, probably people come out to the shelter to see if their dog has been taken in, right?
Yeah, that's typical. I mean, a lot of times folks will call us. So we have, you know, a board where we keep information for people that are missing their animals, and one comes in that's very similar to what's been described. We contact them, but you know, that's another reason why that dog tag is so important.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. If we have that dog tag, we can run that number. We can get their information, such as their address and their phone number, and we can contact them and let them know that the dog is there at the shelter. Another benefit of that is if the dog comes into the shelter and has a tag, we're required to hold that dog for 14 days for the owner, and make every effort to contact them by certified mail, phone, whatever. Whereas a dog that comes in that doesn't have a tag, we are responsible to hold that dog for a period of 3 days. So after the third day, it becomes property of the county and can be adopted out.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Let's play with these numbers again. So 560 dogs last year. 170 of them were then found by their owners. They had been lost and then were reclaimed. Now, 240 dogs last year were actually adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like my situation with either Hope or Foley, I adopted them. And, okay. Now, it goes on to say, average 130 dogs per year rescued. And now, how many times, okay, let's try a different angle. I'm not sure I understand that paragraph, so I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
How many times do you get a call from somebody saying, you know, there's a person that lives in my neighborhood that we don't approve of the way they treat their animal? And would you look into it?
Yeah, quite often. Quite often it happens. And, you know, most of those cases, there are some issues that we can assist the individual in better caring for their animal. You know, under the state law, you have to provide food, water, shelter, just the basics.
Sure.
Right? And a lot of folks, the majority of people, go well beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
There are those folks that, you know, have outside dogs that are tied to a box and they give them food and water every day. And it's legal. It's okay to do that. It's not necessarily the standard of everyone. So you have to move within the law and do things within the law. But, and a lot of times that's the situation. There's other times, unfortunately, where it's not, and they're not properly caring for the animal and giving them everything that they need to survive and be healthy. And that's when we have to intervene.
Now, back to the tags. So whether if you own a dog, you are by law required to have it licensed.
That's correct.
And the licensing period starts around the 1st of December and ends maybe the end of January, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And tags can be acquired where?
So they can be purchased online through the county auditor's website.
Okay.
They can be purchased in person at the county auditor's office.
Can they do it at your office?
They can also purchase them at the dog shelter, yes.
Okay. And once again, we're talking about, what is that, County Road 13?
Yes, State Route 13.
State Route 13. Yeah. And it's, once you leave Columbus Road here, it's out almost halfway or two-thirds of the way to Chancy. Okay. Now, that license has to be renewed annually, or is it good for more than 1 year?
You can purchase multiple year.
Okay.
You can purchase a 3 year or even a permanent. I had purchased a permanent tag for mine.
Okay.
I know that I would forget if I didn't, under normal circumstances, at least before I started working at the shelter. Obviously I think about it every day now, but, it was very simple for me just to purchase a permanent tag and not worry about it ever again.
Now, say, is the dog a companion animal? Is it a hunting dog? Is it been spayed or neutered? All of these things, do they have any bearing on the license?
It does. It does change the price. A dog that's been spayed or neutered under the normal licensing season, so that December 1st to January 31st time frame that you mentioned, A dog that's been spayed or neutered is an $18 tag.
Okay.
If they have not been spayed or neutered, it is a $28 tag.
Okay.
And then after that January 31st time period, those prices double as a penalty. And that's also part of the state law. That's how that works. So highly encourage everybody to you know, put a reminder in their phone, put it on their calendar, you know, purchase those tags during that 2 month period, and don't get stuck with that penalty.
Well, let me suggest one more thing.
Sure.
But nobody's listening. We'll just, this is just between you and me. You make sure the radio station knows, and then during that period of 2 months, we can remind people.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
On both of our stations.
Sure.
All right. But back to business. So let's see here. These are statistics that I found somewhere. An average of 130 dogs per year rescued just from by your dog shelter.
So the rescues are, again, our volunteer organization, Friends of the Shelter Dogs, they are involved with a lot of rescue organizations all over the U.S. and in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these rescue organizations are for specific breeds, like a pit bull rescue or a golden retriever rescue. Some are just very general. But what they do, and most of these rescues are like a foster-based type organization.
Okay.
So they will bring dogs out of shelters and put them in foster homes for long-term basis until they have a potential adopter. So they're getting them out of the shelters and more into a home environment. So that's where that number comes in.
Now, you know, technology changes and things like that. And so recently when we got Foley, because Foley is, I don't know, we've had Foley a year, I guess. The vet said, do you want a microchip?
Oh, those are great. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I kind of had a wide-eyed look at him like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So tell us what that's all about.
It's a very, very small microchip that is under the skin, typically between the shoulder blades. Stores a lot of information. It comes up with a number. You know, every dog that comes into the shelter, we scan them for a microchip. And that number pops up, and we can call to get the information from the chip manufacturer. And you can store as much information as you want with those. You just have to register it. We've had dogs that have come in that have been diabetic, and scanning that chip, we knew right away that, hey, this dog's going to need some further medical attention, or has specific allergies. But we get owner information. The chip company will attempt to contact them as well. You know, people change their cell phone numbers all the time, it seems, anymore. So we can email whatever information is on that chip. We can use to try and reunite the animal with their owner.
I'm just curious. You mentioned people change their cell numbers. Can information that's on that chip be updated?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, so it's not just a one-time thing.
No, I want to say it's AKC Reunite is the one that I am most familiar with, because that's what I use for mine. Every year I get an email reminder from them saying that, you know, it's your dog's birthday, and is there any information that needs to be updated?
I see.
And I mean, obviously you could do it whenever you need to update information, but it's just they remind you from year to year.
The chip can be updated without another insertion or something.
No, the chip just has, I think there are 16, 18 digit numbers.
Okay.
That It's like an RFID chip. Oh, so
they keep
chip.
The data on file and on the
absolutely,
internet.
Yeah. So it. you just log in to whatever company is providing the information. You log into your account there.
Nice.
And update the information. I mean, mine has, I've got photographs, current photographs of him on there in case it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, health information, who his current vet is, when he last had vaccinations, all of those sure. things are available on there. Because that's one of the other things that we would do with a stray dog that comes into the shelter that we don't have any tag information for, or we don't have a chip for. We vaccinate them when they come in, just to ensure that if there are any other dogs in the shelter that have some sort of an issue, or these dogs that are coming in would be shedding some sort of virus or something, we would vaccinate them. With that chip information, you would, if, as long as it's updated, would have the ability to determine that all those vaccines and things are up to date, so you're not doing them again.
Folks, in case you tuned in late, our guest today is Lieutenant Ryan Gillette. He's with the Athens County Sheriff's Department, and he is the dog warden, I guess we could say, and heads up our dog shelter out there on State Route 13, just before you get to Chancy. So let's keep going here. Now, Now, if you have the license, those little tags that hang from their collars,
mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about the microchip, and that's really cool. But if you're doing it the old-fashioned way, there's still a lot of data there, right?
Yeah, we can put in notes, so we can list additional information. But typically, it's you know, owner name, address, phone number, email address if they want to provide one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if there's an animal that has some sort of a medical condition or something that we need to be aware of, we have the ability to make notes of that also in there.
And is that a database that the public can use, or is it only available to you all?
It's only available to, you know, the folks that have the login information. Okay. I mean, obviously you don't want, you know, some people's private information to be known to everybody. But I do think there's an ability to get some basic information from the auditor's website, maybe, that you can put in a tag number and get some basic information for it.
Now, obviously, once in a while you have a dog that needs some medical attention because of an incident, or maybe they're just not healthy. You know, we have a lot of great veterinarians here. At least I think so. Do you have a group that kind of helps, or do you zero in on one particular practice, or... I don't even know if this is a good question, but I'll ask it anyway.
Well, a lot of our medical needs are taken care of, again, by Friends of Shelter Dogs. And okay. I would assume that the help that Hope needed was provided by them. They do a lot of fundraising. Great organization for that. I mean, they do a lot of things for... you know, dogs that come in that have heartworm issues, or you know, seriously injured by car crashes, things of that nature. So sometimes it's a matter of going to OSU Veterinary or MedVet. A lot of the local veterinary care that we do is the Athens Vet Clinic there on Pomeroy Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dr. Onstead.
I drove by there just last evening. And I hadn't been out that way for a while, so I was, I'm trying to think of the name of the doctor that used to be there years ago.
His father. It was his father's practice.
And the last name was?
Onstead.
I think I'm going back
before
than
that. Okay, yeah.
Okay, but in any case, it was neat to see it was still a veterinary clinic.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, okay. So when you're talking to the general public, what are the points that, as someone who's in charge of our Athens County Dog Shelter, you'd like to get across?
Well, honestly, the main thing is, and this is part of my legal responsibility, I'm required by law to make a record of all the dogs that are owned, kept, and harbored in our county.
Okay.
Right? So my main legal requirement is to ensure that all dogs in the county are licensed. And it's very important for two reasons. One, it's the law, so it would avoid you from receiving a citation if necessary as a reminder to ensure that that happens. It also, when we touched on this, it ensures that if your dog does come up missing, wanders away from your home, that it can be returned to the owner in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. But also it is the funding source for the dog shelter. So, you know,
so the fees that are paid for that annual license, they, when all totaled up, they cover the majority of the costs.
All of the costs. Okay. 100%.
Really?
That's the only funding source.
Remarkable. Well, we need to support that.
Yeah.
The I have a little place in just off the side of the kitchen in our home where there's a bunch of hooks. So, you know, car keys, leashes, different things hang there. And I came across a set of dog licenses hanging there. And for the life of me, I don't know which animal it pertained to. And it may have been one that we've lost over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So should I go through some effort to find out and make sure those are then marked inactive or something?
So every year when you would renew tags, you have an ability to go through on the account and update it. And okay. We typically do that if somebody comes in person. You can do it online as well.
Okay.
But if someone comes in person, we go over the licenses to be renewed, or if there's any new licenses for a new puppy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we can update that information.
Okay, so a moment ago we started to mention the finances. Now, I hope this isn't an awful figure, but the overall budget to operate that facility annually might be how much?
Obviously, it changes from year to year depending on the circumstances, but you know, you talk about fuel for the trucks, utilities,
well, dog food, you know,
all of those
all
things.
Those things. Veterinary appointments once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, $250,000-$300,000 to try and keep it all afloat and moving forward.
And those tags that we purchase annually cover those needs. So, folks, it's you know, you're taking care of a whole. You're taking care of your own animal, but you're also aiding animals in general in our county. So please, 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 do your part. Get a license, and it'll keep your animals safer and help others to be too. What is some idea that, okay, I'm betting you go to some sort of clinic or gathering of other dog wardens, you know, maybe quarterly or once a year or whatever, and share ideas. And What is something that you've heard of somebody doing that you'd really love to implement here, but just haven't been able to yet?
Now, I think that we've been able to. I think that we've been able to do the things that we've wanted to do without any kind of an issue.
Great.
I'd always love to be able to increase the rate of adoptions, and I think that everybody is having the same issue right now. It seems like all of the surrounding counties are dealing with an overabundance of numbers in the shelters, and I don't know whether that's to attribute the rising costs of everything, veterinary care, dog food, just general supplies, pet supplies.
This leads me to a difficult question or answer. If after a certain period of time, no one does show an interest in adopting this or that dog, is it euthanized?
We've never had to do that at this point.
Okay.
And that's not something that I want to entertain.
Of course.
We are very good about letting folks know when we're struggling with space and things. And it seems like there are a lot of folks that have been on the fence up until that point. And they kind of understand that now's the time. So if they've been considering adoption, they really start to look into it more and make the decision to do that.
I'm interrupting. I didn't mean to, but
that's fine.
Say there's this really cool dog, but for some reason or other, nobody's jumped in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to one of your counterparts in another county and said, "Hey, I've got one that I just don't understand why it's not been picked up. But I would you like to try, and try to, and maybe they've got one in a similar situation that you'd like to try."
We've done that with some other counties before.
Okay.
It doesn't happen very often. Most often other counties around us are, in need, and we try to help as often as possible. We've been blessed with a great facility here in Athens, and we try to help out some of the smaller shelters as often as possible. But we've done the kind of swap thing before to try and get some interest and a broader set of eyes. But we've had some that have been at the shelter for over a year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Not currently, but in the past, we've had some dogs that have been long-term residents.
Don't you guys have trouble giving them up after a year?
Sometimes.
You know what
sometimes.
I mean? Sometimes. I think if I worked in your facility and I had been dealing with a dog for a year, I'd find a way to take it home myself. You know what I mean?
It can be difficult.
Yeah.
For sure. In fact, one of the last long-term residents that we had, she was very special to all of us. She was difficult. She had some quirks, but she was very special to all of us. And I want to say that she'd spent almost 2 years in the shelter.
Hmm.
One of our folks retired and, decided that he wanted to take her home with him.
That's cool.
So she lives at his place now.
Okay, so say there's, and we've already kind of mentioned, there are some volunteer groups that help assist you folks in the concepts in general. Friends of the Shelter is one such group. So far we've been talking about dogs, and I want to talk about cats here in a few minutes too, but These groups that assist you, if someone is emotionally moved by this show this morning and wants to get involved and become helpful. How would they go about making themselves known to whoever?
So if you wanted to get involved with Friends of Shelter Dogs, I want to say that their website is fosdathens.com or .org, one of those two. Mm-hmm. I think it's .com. But you can, you know, send them a message on their website. I think they're also on Facebook. Send them a message, get involved, either, you know, donating time. You can certainly donate money. Donate items, food, toys, any of those things. Quite often we have folks that it's quite sad, but we're grateful for it. You know, folks will come in and say that they have just recently lost a pet and have, you know, these beds or some food left over, some toys, and they want to donate them. And we're very, very grateful for those things. But yeah, you reach out directly to Friends of Shelter Dogs and get involved with them. They're a great organization. You know, if it's once a month that you can help out, a day, any of that is appreciated.
And similarly, veterinarians who might say, listen, I want to help this. They could get in touch with you, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's how initially I met, Dr. Onestad at the, Athens Vet Clinic, and they've helped us in a way that, has been remarkable. They have come out to the shelter. Mm-hmm. We've had, times where we've had these large seizures of animals for cruelty issues where there's, you know, 20, 30 animals. And there's been nights where they'd come out and inspect every one of them until late at night.
Too. I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah.
Okay, once in a while you got to hear a case of somebody mistreating an animal.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job to go and clobber those people, right? And clobber.
Right, yeah. So... the Humane Society in Athens County does typically employ a humane agent, okay, who is ultimately the one that would investigate and
file a charge.
File charges against folks for animal cruelty.
Okay.
They are currently in between agents, so right now we are doing that for them. I believe they've just hired one, is going through some training,
yeah, sure,
in order to get certified. But
I just realized we only have 3 minutes left. So, and I got another big issue.
Sure.
Okay, we've been talking about dogs. What about cats?
Cats, I can't answer any
You know, there used to be a little cat shelter next to the county garage there on 56. I don't think it exists anymore.
I don't. There's not a physical cat shelter in Athens County now.
Huh. Well, people out there, give it some thought.
We get a lot of phone calls about what to do with cats, and we have to refer them to the Humane Society. Mm-hmm. So if there's a cat issue out there or questions about cats, That's a question for the Humane Society. I can't.
You know, I hear of this sort of thing very rarely, but if a horse or some other type of animal is not being well cared for, does that get reported to somebody?
Yeah, so typically that would also go through the Humane Society for that humane agent, and we're currently doing those cases of livestock, at chickens, goats, horses, cows, any of those.
Well, folks, I haven't said it often enough, but our guest today is Lieutenant Ryan Gillette, who for 4 or 5 years now has headed up our Athens County Humane, Athens County Dog Shelter. There we go. Which is out on Route 13, almost toward, almost before you get to Chancy. And Ryan, listen, make sure that as you're doing different things, you make us aware and we'll promote them for you. Because I don't think I've ever met anybody who didn't like a pet. But maybe
it's hard to
some.
Imagine, isn't it?
Yeah. So we want to do everything we can for our community and for our pets and for you.
Well, we appreciate it, and you've always been really good about getting the word out when we've needed it.
Well, keep it up, and we'll do it. All right, folks, coming up tomorrow, Athens County Children's Services will be our topic. I think Matt Starkey's our guest tomorrow. And looking ahead yet one more time, Tara Giltz will be with us on Thursday to talk about Blennis's, Ohio Health's Guilt Holiday Open House. Two good topics. Golly, looking ahead, next week we have the 911 EMS director. So all sorts of good topics coming up and things we need to know about and understand and use properly. All right, let's see. Weather-wise, let me see here. When we started the show, we were at 43 degrees here on Columbus Road. It has now climbed up to 50. And they say we're going to have a high this afternoon around 3 of 76 and 75 around 5. And then overnight, it looks like the low will be 44. So, you know, whatever it is, and we'll just deal with it. We want you to have a safe day. And once again, it is October 24th, a Tuesday. Take care out there. Let's see here. I should hum a song for a few seconds. I suddenly realized I'm ahead of myself by 10 seconds. I know you recognize that. Okay, see you later.
In our 73rd year of serving Southeast Ohio, AM 970 and 97.3 FM.
W-A-T-H Evans.
Sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, an 85.